testimony that he bought you from a mighty long way. You have the testimony that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you really don't know where you would be, but you're so glad you're here. Is there anybody in here that have a testimony that because you're sitting next to somebody who's alive, you here and the enemy didn't kill you before you got here? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm going to go right into this word. But giving honor to God, to his darling son Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, amen, to the powerful, anointed, preferred apostle of this house, no other than Apostle Terry Gulledge. Come on, somebody. You could do better than that for your apostle. This man means so much to so many, and I didn't get a chance to say that this morning, but he has come into my life and really have made an impact in my life. To Lady Elect and First Lady Gulledge, we thank God for her. Amen. Amen. And to all of the pastors, ministers, elders, all fivefold ministry, just thank God for you. Amen. I want to say that my wife is here sharing with me. First Lady Jasmine Rainey, I'm excited about her. Amen. We brought along our alma bearers, Minister Damone McFadden and Minister Dorothy McFadden, and they are expecting a baby. We're excited for them to be with us. I know I got to move. I got to get going. But Apostle, I'm so excited that I looked in the audience and I seen my mother and my father come in the building. Amen. Prophetess Dinah Washington and Howard Washington. Amen. Along with my aunt, my uncles. I see my aunts. So, man, I'm just excited to see you all in the building. Somebody clap your hands. Listen, I have to get into this word. If you all don't mind, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Job. The book of Job. And I'm going to the 16th chapter, starting at the 9th verse. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us clarity. Father, touch us. We repent of anything that's not like you, Father. Ask that you would wash us, cleanse us, give us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us. Father, give us a word. Speak to us. Let us decrease. Let your spirit stand up in us like never before. We give you glory that you would anoint us afresh. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Amen. The Bible says in verse 9, he teared me in his wrath, who hated me. He garnished upon me with his teeth. Mine enemies sharpened his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God had delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Verse 12 says, I was at ease, but he had broken me asunder. Everybody say broken. He had also taken me by my neck. Everybody say taken. And shaken me to pieces. Everybody say shaken. Watch this. And set me up for his mark. Everybody say, set me up for his mark. Verse 12 is the verse I'm going to be coming from. I was at ease, but he had broken me asunder. He had also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. Just for a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject set up. Can you touch your neighbor and say, neighbor? It was a setup. When we look at Job, you may have your seat. When we look at Job, Job was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed or desperately avoided evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was so great that he had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses. And a household so great that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East, the Bible says. And every time they had a feast together, when the feast was over, Job would sanctify the whole family by praying for them and then rising up early in the morning to sacrifice or to give a burnt offering for each of them, simply because he feared that any of them could have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan just popped up among them also. And that's because Satan always pops up at positive sessions so that he can get the scope and try to delay our progressions. And the Lord says unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doeth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face." God says you can touch everything he possesses, but don't touch him physically in the season, in this particular season. So I want y'all to watch this. In this season, or in that season, Job lost his oxen, he lost his donkeys, he lost his sheep, he lost his shepherds, he lost his camels, and he lost his children. It was so devastating that in verse 20, the Bible says Job then stood up and tore his clothes and shaved his head and fell down to the ground and worshiped God. I call it whipped worship. It's when you've been whipped by the enemy, but you have enough strength to worship him anyhow. Touch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, we can't always let our circumstances determine our worship. We can't always let our storms determine how we praise God. We praise him when everything going well, but when things are falling apart, we have a tendency to delay our worship." And here's what he said in verse 21. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." He said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away." He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And church, it's mind-blowing that most times when you see such a storm as this one, it normally comes due to a promise or a dream or the fact that you've been anointed and you have something to look forward to. And that's evident in the lives of Abraham, Joseph, and David. Because Abraham, while waiting on the promise of God, didn't stagger at the promise, but he staggered into a slight mess after sleeping with his wife's handmaid, Hagar. Everybody say, "But he had a promise." Joseph had a dream, and right after the dream, he got thrown into a pit, he got sold, he got accused and put into prison, all while waiting on the palace in the dream to come to pass. Everybody say, "But he had a dream." David was anointed king, and while waiting to occupy the throne, he runs into a giant, a jealous king, and a life of running from the same king that he was anointed enough to set free from evil. Everybody say, "But he was anointed." But when we look at Job's case, Job didn't have a promise, he didn't have a dream, neither did the Bible say that he was anointed to be king, but he is suffering somewhat like the folk in whom has had a promise or a dream or is anointed. And that's
because, church, your circumstances or storms are not always calibrated by what you've been promised. Sometimes storms come based on how you've been presented and the fact that you've been preferred. Okay, y'all catch it? When you look at the word presented meaning you have been introduced. Mm-hmm. It's God saying in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." In essence, he says, "Let me introduce you to my son." Okay, and then when you look at the word preferred meaning chosen, are considered. It's God saying in Job chapter 1 and verse 8 and in Job chapter 2 and verse 3, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Can you touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, trouble don't always show up because you've been anointed or even because you've been given a promise. But sometimes it comes just because you've been introduced. That means God's been bragging on you. That's why, church, you can, watch this, you can just get rolled eyes at you for no reason at all in the world. And that's why you're the most hated on your job and the most hated in your circle. It has absolutely nothing to do with you or anything that you've done, but it's just that the enemy has heard about you. Can you high-five your neighbor right quick and say, the Lord has been talking about me. The Lord has been. Look what the text says. The text says in verse 11, the text says, God, watch this. He says, God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. The first thing I want you to see is that Job concludes about his situation that God delivered or handed him over to a mess, but he handed him over on purpose. Touch your neighbor and say, wherever you are, you're not there by mistake, but you're there on purpose. And anything, church, that has been done on purpose means that it's been done with intent. It's been done with meaning. It's been done with an aim. It's been done with a plan. And it's been done by design. Mm-hmm. Anything that is done on purpose means that it's done with control. And I can't speak for anybody in here, but regardless of whatever state that I am in, if God is in control, then I'll bless him in the midst of my circumstances, knowing that God, can you just touch your neighbor and say, God is in control? That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose," his intent, his meaning, his aim, his plan, and his design. I have come to the conclusion, church, that God does things on purpose so that we might fulfill his purpose. Tell your neighbor, say, the reason why you in it is because of God's purpose. If you're wondering why is it that you're going through so much, baby, it's not to punish you. It's to build you. It's to give you revelation, and it's so that God can get the glory out of your life. Everybody say, his purpose. The second thing I want y'all to notice is that Job says in verse 12, he says, "I was at ease." He says, "But he." He says, "I was at ease, but he." When you look at the word ease in the Hebrew, it is the word shalev, which means at peace. It means he was in quietness. It means that he was in prosperity, but he. Job says, "I was comfortable, but he." He says, "I was stable, but he." He says, "I was content, but he." Things were good, perfect, and excellent until he butt in. He objected, he interrupted it, he crashed it. Is there anybody in here that ever had your good thing interrupted? Come on here, you had a nice apartment, but you got evicted. You had a nice car, but it got repossessed. You had good friends, but they stabbed you in your back. You had a good job, but you didn't know that it was an unexpected layoff. You had a great choir, but here comes Yolanda Wannabe Adams and Stephen Wonderful bringing mess in the choir, and you didn't even know that God was trying to bring you from an apartment to a house, that he was trying to bring you from a nice car to a better vehicle, that he was trying to bring you from a good friend to a real friend. He was trying to bring you from a job to owning your own business. He was trying to bring you from, watch this here, being in the choir to being in ministry, because God had something better for you. Because whenever God interrupts something that seemed to be good, it's because he's got something even better. Can you tell your neighbor, God's got something better for you? And you've been wondering, listen, I was minding my own business and here comes the disruption. But let me help you right quick. I don't know why God just brought me here. Sometimes the services are interrupted because God is trying, because they're trying to make you know that there is something that may be an emergency. Wait a minute. When you're watching your own service on television, your favorite TV show, have you ever been watching it? And then all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden they say, we interrupt this program just in case there was an emergency. Touch your neighbor and say, there is an emergency. I'm about to emerge. Y'all not talking to me here. Because God always interrupts good to bring you better. It's just God saying to Abram, leave your country because I'm getting ready to bless you with nations. It's God telling Joshua, stop mourning over Moses because everywhere you tread your foot, I'm going to give it to you. It's God telling Israel, don't remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Can you touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's a setup. It's Job says, I was at ease, but he had broken me asunder. He had also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces, and he set me up for his mark. The second thing I want y'all to notice is that Job says he was broken. Whenever you see the word broken, always understand that brokenness comes before breakthrough. And breakthrough comes after breakdowns, break-ins, breakups, breakouts, broken pieces, broken hearts, broken friendships, and broken pride. That's only because the maker sometimes becomes the breaker, so that he can replace the weak pieces of the vessel with pieces that will make the vessel hold when the vessel breaks through. Sometimes God is breaking you so that he can remake you, so that you can be better when he puts you forward and say, here, this is my child who I'm well pleased. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, say, you can't break through until you've been broke in. Mm-hmm. He says, I was at ease, but he had broken me. He had taken me. He had shaken me into pieces. And then he says something mind-blowing. He says, and set. When you look at the word set, it means to put, to lay, or to stand something in a specified place or position, or to bring into a specified state. Anything that has to be set cannot be set until it's been taken. Y'all caught that? That's why Psalms 40 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the hand, also out of and a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He said, and set my feet, y'all with me here, up on the rock and establish my going. When you look at the word set, set in the Hebrew is the word kum, which means to raise, establish, to stand confirm, to accomplish, to decree, to ordain, and to come about. Anything that God takes becomes in good hands with God's state. Can you touch your neighbor and say, you're in good hands with God's state? That's why the Bible says in John 10 and 29, my Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Touch your neighbor and say, you in good hands with God's sake. Job says, not only did he set, he says, he set me up. When you look at the word set up, church, when we look at it, it is safe to say that it conclude that someone has come up with a scheme or trick intended to incriminate, hurt, or deceive somebody. And looking at Job's argument, it was easy to conclude that this could have possibly been some cruel and unusual punishment. But Job made one mistake. Everybody say he made a mistake. This is where he made the mistake, because he said he set me up, but then he included that it was for his mark. And the word mark in the Hebrew means for his aim, which literally means for his purpose. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for the things which are before. But then he says, I press towards the mark. When you look at the word mark, watch this. In the Greek, it is the word skupos, which means I press towards the aim. Can you touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, I've been set up for God's purpose. Yeah, I've been set up for God. And the question is, Pastor, how do you know? How can you tell us that we've been set up? The reason why I know that is because a setup, watch this, is a structured, organized arrangement. A setup is a structured, organized arrangement. And the last time I checked, God was a structured, organized arranger, which is someone who plans the event and makes the deals. In essence, he creates the event and he decides how it's going to end. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 2, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, somebody here. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, he who had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say, I'm glad he's the arranger? Yeah, he knows how it's going to start, and he sure enough knows how it's going to end. Can you touch your neighbor and say, my God is an arranger? Job, watch this here. Job lost everything that he ever cared for. He lost his oxen, he lost his donkeys, he lost his sheep, and he lost his shepherds. He lost his camels, and he lost his children. But here he proves that there is purpose behind the pain. Can you tell your neighbor there's purpose behind the pain? I stand to be corrected, but I'm convinced that the purpose of this particular pain was to illuminate the law of God's return. You may show it to him. Because the losing of his oxen was the setup. The losing of his donkeys was a setup. The sheep was a setup. The shepherds was a setup. Losing his camel was a setup. Losing his children was a setup. And the fact that he had sores on his body, sure enough, was a setup. But it was for the law of return. And the reason why I say that is that the law of return for God is whatever God allows, somebody say allow, the enemy to take from you, God will return it. Come on, somebody. That's why the Bible says in Job chapter 2, verse 25, he says, and I will restore, watch this, to you the years that the locust had eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Listen to this. He said, I will restore. Listen, when you look at the word restore, it means to recompense or to heal, listen to this, by return. Let me say it again. It means to recompense or to heal by return. Now, when you look at the word return, if you Google it, you'll find this, that the word return means to bounce back. How many of you know that God is a God of bouncing back? If you don't believe me, Lazarus was dead. But when Jesus got to the funeral, Lazarus bounced back. Y'all don't hear me here? There was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 long years, spent everything she had. But when she touched the hem of his garment, she y'all quiet in here. Y'all remember Jairus' daughter was supposed to be asleep until death, but when Jesus got in the bedroom, she bounce back, because God is a God of bounce back. If you don't believe me, Jesus died, but 3 days later he. So it means to bounce back, but not only does return mean to bounce back, but return also means to go back into the place or to reset. If we separate the words return, re and turn, re becomes a prefix. And when you look at the prefix re, it means again. And the word turn means move in a circular motion, changing the direction. So when God says, I will restore, it means that I will again do action to turn the position of the situation. And so I just came to tell somebody here that when you are set up as Job was, when God say, I will restore, it means that in your setup, God will come back and again turn the situation around so that it can upset whatever enemy that tried to come against the move of God. Let me make sure I get this straight. Baby, everything that said that you wasn't gonna make it, everything that said that you would never be nothing, God has turned it around. Y'all don't hear me here? If you don't believe me, you can ask Joseph. Joseph had a dream, and Joseph was hated for his dream. And they sold Joseph. And Joseph, watch this, was accused. And Joseph was put in jail. It was a setup. But when God turned it around, it became an upset to those that came back and thought that he would never be nothing. Y'all not hearing me here? Touch your neighbor and say, it's an upset. Say, God set me up. Say, God set me up to upset my storm in my life. God set me up to upset what the doctor said about my condition. Somebody say, God set me up so that he might upset some things that been trying to come against me. Touch your neighbor and say, set up, set up. Let me tell you about when God set things up. I heard this apostle while I was walking out your office. I heard the Lord say, anything I do too much of it. Y'all stay with me here. That's why the Bible says, and I will pull you out blessings that you would not have room enough to receive, because everything I do too much of it. So when God was setting you up, he wasn't just setting you up, but he was setting your bank account up. He was setting your job up. He was setting up your next relationship. Did they anybody in here? Did they anybody in here? You glad for the setup? You glad for the setup? Because you know that everything you've been going through was just the upset. Everything that's been coming against you. That's why I learned that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory. The suffering is the setup, but when he said the glory, it's the upset. Touch your neighbor and say, God, get the glory out of my setup. I'll praise him in my setup. I'll praise him in my setup. My sickness, just a setup. My relationship, just a setup. My depression, just a setup. But late in the midnight hour, God knows how to turn it around. And he will turn it around. Yes, you meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. Somebody say, set up. Setup means your condition is not your conclusion. Setup means your stagnation is just temporary inconvenience. Setup means your delay is not your denial. Setup means failure is not final. Tell your neighbor, it ain't over until God says it's over. Job received everything he lost, but he received it three times more. Touch your neighbor and say, God is about to return it with a threefold blessing. Yes! Somebody say yes! Three times. I'm going to my seat. I want to leave you with this. When God says, I'll reset it, I said, God, why you want me to say reset? He said, because when I reset it, it means that I'm going to reset the time. I'm going to reset the time. And I said, why are you going to reset the time? He said, so that when the time moves this time, your blessing won't move with the time. Your blessing gonna move with you. So if you decide not to move, the blessing won't move. But when you start walking, the blessing's gonna walk. And everywhere you tread your feet up on shall be declared yours. Somebody say, set up!
Come on, somebody give God praise. Come on, say, I've been.